With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Listeners should refer to the disclaimer in the episode notes and at the end of this podcast.
It's next to nothing these days. You've got teenagers now who can afford to invest in the stock market, which is, it's such a big change. You know, I remember my parents investing. The only choice, you know, in the past was to go to a full service broker, but it was expensive. You know, you'd be expected to invest tens of thousands at a time often, and the fees would be, you know, upwards of $100 a transaction. But it blocks out a whole category of people that want to start trading, but, you know, want to start trading in smaller amounts because they're not sure about it and work things out for themselves.
G'day and welcome back to Equity ASA. I'm Phil Muscatello and today I'm chatting with Kylie Purcell, investment editor at Finder.com. Hello, Kylie.
Hello, Phil. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So we're here to talk about the proliferation of brokerage apps and services and what they offer to investors in terms of cost-effective brokerage and access to previously inaccessible investments. So we're going to work through this. We were talking about going through them one by one, but there's too many really, aren't there?
Oh, there's so many. There's at least 30 that we track on Finder, if not more. The thing is they keep popping up and it's hard to track them. I've yet to find an official list out there.
Have you got some sort of list on Finder that people can refer to?
Not a full list. We do have a list. If you go to our main share trading page, we're looking at going full market soon, actually. Yeah. So watch this space. We will have hopefully every platform available in the market on Finder's website coming up.
Okay, well, let's start with the traditional online platforms. Talk to us about those.
Traditional online platforms. If you're thinking of the traditional ones, you might be thinking of the bank type share trading platforms like your CommSec and your NAB Trade. Westpac and ANZ also have their own share trading platforms. These are the ones that probably, if you've been in the stock market for a while now or for a few years at least, you've probably jumped onto one of these. They were some of the only ones available for a while. So brokerage fees tend to be higher with these platforms, but they do tend to come with a lot of features such as market analysis, you can filter for stocks, you can get broker ratings, and you can get a whole lot of financial information on all of these stocks. They also tend to offer more conditional orders. So you have, you know, your stop loss, you have trailing stop loss, you've got more than just your market and limit orders. So for some, paying those extra fees, those extra brokerage fees, tends to pay off. It makes sense. For others, they'd prefer to lose all those extra features. They just want a cheaper broker and they might be looking at something else.
Okay, well, let's dive into the new world of brokerage.
There are so many new platforms that are popping up these days. I think probably the newest brokers that have come to market tend to focus on the US stocks. So now we've got a whole bunch of zero brokerage US trading platforms out there. You might have seen eToro. We've got Stake, which launched a couple of years ago now. That was the first in Australia to launch zero brokerage trading. So that's obviously very low fees. You can invest smaller amounts with US stocks. And these ones tend to be focused, eToro and Stake especially, more towards that kind of younger audience, that kind of Wall Street bets audience that we see in the US a lot. The Robin Hood investors, if you want to call it that, where, you know, it's very minimalist design, quick trades on your phone, and tend to have kind of minimalist features as well.
And they tend to be on the phone as well. I mean, this is a big difference as well, that a lot of it is, it's very much a
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and a very elegant app that allows you to trade very quickly and easily.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. They tend to be optimized for mobile, and that's the angle they tend to push. You know, you're out and about, you want to trade you know, GameStop or Facebook or whatever. You can make a quick trade, no fuss. So yeah, that's the kind of angle they push. They tend to be more focused on one specific asset type though. So these brokers only offer US stocks, for example. And they have their custody brokers in the US that execute those trades for them in Australia. But they won't offer, say, Australian stocks or other global stocks. That's kind of changing a little bit now. We've seen some brokers that have offered traditionally Australian stocks now adding US stocks under their offerings as well, which is interesting. We've seen Self Wealth, which is a really popular broker. They offer CHESS-sponsored Australian stocks. They've recently added US stocks as well to the table. And I know Superhero, which is a fairly new brokerage account offering Australian stocks, they're looking at adding US stocks. I hope that's not a secret. A word on the street is they're adding US stocks as well. And then we've seen CMC Markets and IG, which have been offering global stocks for a while, but at higher prices. They've started offering zero brokerage US and global stocks. So we're very much moving towards this zero brokerage direction, the same as we see in the US. It's really changing Australia's landscape. People are realizing that, you know, they could invest X amount in Australian stocks, but you could also just invest $5. I think the minimum is 10, to be fair. The minimum is 10, I think, for stake. $10 into a stock if they want and play around a bit more. So it's definitely changing the dynamic of trading. You know, in the past, when it was expensive to trade US stocks, and it still is on some of those traditional banking platforms like CommSec, still very expensive to trade US stocks. You'd want to invest quite a bit, obviously, and ASX stocks is a minimum $500. US stocks don't have those rules. You can invest anything depending on what your broker offers you.
So there's two points that come out of that. The first point, of course, is that if you're only investing $5 or $10, that's not like a CHESS-sponsored holding, is it?
No, that's exactly right. You can't do that for Australian stocks yet. So if you wanted to invest a few dollars, say $10, you could only do that with US stocks. And if you wanted to get zero brokerage transactions, only US stocks offer that currently. I know Superhero has now, I don't want to leave them out, they've now added zero brokerage ETFs. They're the only broker in Australia that is offering zero brokerage for any Australian asset. And that's just for ETFs. And I think they've just taken that loss as part of their offering kind of thing.
So why is it that they can offer it in US stocks and not Australians?
It's just the system that we have in Australia. As far as I know, we're not allowed to use the system that they use in the US. It's called payment for order flow. Well, that's one system. And they use that to get around the brokerage fees. So what this means is brokers like Robinhood will sell those trades made through their platform onto other third-party brokers, usually major brokerages, market makers, and they make a profit on the difference between the bid and sell order. And that profit is then paid onto Robinhood in pennies, very small amounts. So it relies on lots of small trades happening regularly. That's how they're able to do it there. They're not allowed to do that in Australia.
Zero brokerage. That was the other question I was going to come to. How do they make money?
Yes.
So they're making money by having their orders fulfilled through another service that pays for those orders.
Yeah.
Sorry, explain that to me.
These big brokerages are compensated based on the spread between the bid and ask prices. That profit is then passed on to the original broker, Robinhood, say, in pennies per trade, basically. Mm. So that's how it works. It's shady. This does create a conflict of interest because, you know, that major broker may not be offering the best price. There's a good potential they're not getting the best price for the order.
So
the
bid and ask spread might not be as good as what you would get through just a traditional online broker, for example.
Potentially. So that can cause you to lose more money than, say, if you'd paid a brokerage fee in the first place. The US, I know regulators have cut down on that in the last decade or so. I think it was potentially even the 90s. And they carefully monitor that spread. So as far as I know, it's working okay. But, you know, we do see instances where there can be a conflict of interest. And I think we saw something like that recently with, I don't know, I'm going to go into GameStop just to stop me now.
Yeah. You're obsessed. You're obsessed,
Carla. It's been such a focus this last week. Yeah. I need to ease out. So that's how they're able to make money. And then also, you know, some brokers that offer zero brokerage can make money in other ways, for example, through leveraged products, options or CFD products, which they might charge a commission for. and stock trading is just kind of a thing on the side to draw customers in.
So another one of these platforms is eToro. Do they do Australian or just American?
They just do American.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've been told they're looking at adding Australian. To do that, they'd have to partner with an Australian broker of some kind. So they offer direct US stock trading as well as CFDs. So you can buy and sell stocks, cryptocurrency, commodities, Forex, using leverage on eToro if you like. So I think eToro is probably the most similar to a Robinhood type trading platform in Australia. Yet to offer Australian stocks, I'd be interested to see what happens when they do. I've been keenly watching.
So some of these platforms have a social aspect to them as well.
Yeah.
And you can follow traders.
That's right, yeah. So eToro is really big on that. That's probably their biggest angle, is the social trading aspect, where you can follow top traders on the platform, like traders that have been doing really well. You can watch their profits, you can watch what they've been doing, and you can actually imitate their trades. I mean, I think it's wild. You can imitate exactly what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. You can set an amount that you want to invest in that person, basically. So say,
and they become like a personal fund manager for
you, don't they? Basically, that's right.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
It is wild. I haven't done it yet, but I've been thinking about doing it for a while just to see what happens. I think there's a minimum $200 investment or something, but you know.
It's almost worth a flutter, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I'm willing to give it a go. Then they also have these portfolios that they make, which is kind of interesting too, where they've built up a portfolio of individual stocks, almost like an ETF, except it's often not as many stocks as what you'd have in an ETF, and it doesn't follow the same rules that ETFs follow, so it could be riskier potentially. But yeah, they also have their own portfolios that you can track as well, so you want to invest in the rise of electric vehicles, they have a portfolio for that. It's very much targeted at kind of this millennial-esque new trader. They've got a lot of fun features to play around with.
So with some of the other platforms, it's really the low brokerage and access to US markets that are the key to them, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It's the ability to trade with smaller amounts too. I think that's been the biggest blocker for young people in Australian stocks, to be honest. I can understand why you should have a minimum high amount, but you know, if you're 18 or 19 or 20 and you've got a minimum $500 investment to make in a single stock, it's a pretty big investment at that age. You know, even today it can be a big investment if there's a potential for you to lose that overnight. So I think these zero brokerage US platforms have really just allowed young people to play around.
Do you think they're learning any valuable lessons from it?
I think they have to be. The stock market volatility that we've seen over the last 12 months, where we saw so many new players come into the stock market, I think it was 4,000 a day at one point, ASIC said. A lot of them would have lost money. ASIC reported that a lot of people were losing money. Surely that's a lesson in itself, that you can win as well as lose. These last few months have been incredibly bullish, and I know a lot of people are very enthusiastic about the stock market. I just advise people to be wary that we're going through a really good period at the moment. And if you're not making money on the stock market, look, you've done something really wrong, because the stock market's just doing phenomenally. But we've all seen how that can turn out.
You mentioned that there's a custodial arrangement with some of these purchases. So it's not like a traditional CHESS holding. You don't get a holder identification number, for example.
Yeah, that's right. Australia is actually really unique in that we have this CHESS system. It's the ASX clearance registry system. So regardless of what broker you're with, your ownership is still registered by the ASX. So I guess the idea behind that being that if the broker collapses, your shares will be there under your name and you can...
Is that unique to Australia? I didn't realise
it. It's unique to Australia. Australia's the only one. Pretty much every other country, possibly every country, uses the custody model. Mm. And so some brokers here do use the custody model, and that is where your shares are held beneficially by a custody broker. These custodians are very regulated by ASIC. They tend to be market makers. They're massive, massive brokerages. But if they did collapse, it's a little more complicated in terms of when you'd get your shares back and how you'd get that back, the process. So that's the big difference. But by that same token, these custody model brokers can make it a lot cheaper to trade. So they've been able to reduce those costs. In the same way the US payment for order flow system was able to get around brokerage fees, this custody model system can also reduce brokerage fees, because you're not having to pay the ASX, basically, is the big reasoning, and can also reduce the minimum amount that you put into an individual stock, even, as we've seen recently with Superhero.
Okay, let's quickly have a look at some of the micro-investing platforms as well, because this is a great gateway as well for young people to start saving and getting involved in investing.
Yeah, absolutely. So micro-investing platforms, the first one to come to mind would be Raise. Raise Invest, that's the most well-known one, and they allow you to invest $5 at a time into a portfolio of ETFs. And the great thing about Raise is that you can invest as you go, because your spare change on every purchase that you make is rounded up.
That's right, it's a rounding up app.
It's a rounding up app, that's the fun thing about it, and it's added to your portfolio. They've actually added a new feature now where you can pick and choose your own ETFs within the portfolio, so you can build your own portfolio. They've added about 7 new ETFs in there as well. That's micro-investing, rounding up very small amounts. Then you've got Spaceship is the other option, which invests minimal amounts, cents, basically, into your portfolio. It doesn't round up your cash, but you can set a regular order of how much you want going into your portfolio. Those are great ways to start investing as well. If you don't have a lot of money, that's a really great option for young people. If they don't want to spend, you know, thousands of dollars investing in stocks, these micro-investing apps are really great. And, you know, actually, their portfolios are doing pretty well. Like, it's a good investment.
And there's CommSec Pocket as well, is another one.
CommSec Pocket, yeah. That is not quite a micro-investment app. I did call it that on one of my articles in Finder. I've since kind of regretted that because I've had to stick with calling it that. It's more like a mini-investment app. I sort of called it micro-investing in the sense that you can invest $50 at a time into Australian ETFs, where the minimum investment normally is $500. So that allows you to invest smaller amounts. $50, if you want to call that a micro. I did at the time, and I'm sticking with it. And then, you know, it's $2 brokerage fees,
yeah, very
which,
low
is,
brokerage
which is great. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I really like CommSec. I've actually used it myself to invest in an ETF that I follow because I've got a good selection of ETFs. And then the other side of it is these fractional share trading apps, which are mostly these zero brokerage US apps that we talked about before. So instead of investing in, you know, single stocks, one stock at a time, you can invest in fractions of stocks. So you can invest in 1/10 of a stock if you want, which gets around, you know, some stocks like Google being priced at $1,000 plus. Instead, you can invest in 1/10 of that for $100. I got this wrong once on an interview, I have to say. And someone caught me up on it. They're like, 1/10, really? You can invest in 1/10 of it or 1/20 of it, whatever you like. In some ways, you could almost call that the type of micro-investing because you can put in a few dollars at a time into individual stocks now, depending on what your broker is offering you.
So there's been a great democratization in investing, hasn't there? Especially for young people who...
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when you compare it to what it might have been like 30 years ago when you were trying to buy
how much
it would cost to get in.
Yes.
And, where you would get the knowledge from.
That's right. It's next to nothing these days. You've got teenagers now who can afford to invest in the stock market, which is, it's such a big change. You know, I remember my parents investing. The only choice, you know, in the past was to go to a full service broker, and full service brokers definitely have their place, but it was expensive. You know, you'd be expected to invest, you know, tens of thousands at a time often. And the fees would be, you know, upwards of $100 a transaction and still are to this day. But you get a whole bunch of other benefits that come with that. But it blocks out a whole category of people that want to start trading, but, you know, want to start trading in smaller amounts because they're not sure about it and work things out for themselves. I do think it's a good thing. It's just changed the dynamic of what share trading is in Australia.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting as well with property. I've just heard about Bricklets. It's just opened as well.
Yeah, I saw that come up. I haven't tracked that properly. I should. I actually got a press release this morning. I need to follow
I think
that
everyone's,
up.
Yeah, everyone's just onto that. But I think it's you can buy a share in an apartment or a house, for example.
Yeah. I know. Yes. Yeah. There's so many new things that you can do these days.
Mm.
We've seen Superhero come to market with its option to trade $100 at a time into the stock market. They're about to launch a couple of superannuation products, which allow you to basically build your own portfolio. So there's just so many more options these days. You've got a lot more control. And I also think it's interesting that not just control over your own investments, which comes with both risks and benefits, people are now demanding an understanding of how their platforms work, where their money's going, and who the associated brokers are with these platforms. Even I find it confusing. You know, you've got share trading platforms that aren't necessarily brokers, Then you've got their associated brokers that are doing all of the orders. Then you've got the clearance houses, which are handling the cash element of it. Sometimes all of these are one. Some of the time these are just one organization. Sometimes they're two and sometimes they're three. Sometimes there's others involved. So it is getting complicated. But this is kind of allowing a whole lot of new products to come to market at the same time. By the same token, people are demanding a lot more clarity around what's happening on the back end, which is, I also think, a good thing. We're learning that just because an organization is massive doesn't mean they're always going to do the right thing, as we saw with the Royal Commission recently. I think it's an interesting time to be an investor.
And it's an interesting time to be young.
It's an interesting time to be young, definitely. Yeah.
Kylie Purcell, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, Phil.
Important, please remember these podcasts are produced to provide information and education, and they're not designed to provide financial advice, nor are they a recommendation to buy shares in the companies featured or discussed. The Australian Shareholders Association does not endorse or favour any specific commercial product or company. Please obtain independent professional advice before investing. We value your feedback and questions. Please contact us at share@asa.asn.au if you have any suggestions for guests or specific questions you'd like answered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.